This is The Way Phase 4, and I'm your host, Steve Lascalzo. This podcast is dedicated to my fandom of Marvel Studios and everything happening in Phase 4 on Disney+. Today's discussion topic is the fifth and penultimate episode of Loki, available for streaming as of July 7th, 2021. Marvel Studios releases a lot of content, and if you're not caught up, you may hear things in this podcast concerning some of the things you've missed. If you're looking for podcasts about the show that only discuss one specific episode without referencing any other Marvel content, let us know when you find one. We speculate responsibly, but anything Marvel Studios has released up to this point is fair game for discussion. You have been warned.
This is actually your last chance.
Do you want to be part of the podcast and have your voice heard? Well, put your thoughts in writing first. Send it to us at one of a few different places. Our email address is thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com, at thewayphase4 on Twitter, or facebook.com/thewayphase4. And if we get feedback, we will share it.
Thor is Papa!
Episode 5 is titled Journey into Mystery, which when I searched the internet for that title, it seems that it's a reference to the first ever appearance by Thor in Marvel Comics from August of 1962. It's also an adequate description of what happens in the episode. From first action to last shot before the credits is just under 42 minutes. There's no mid or post-credit sequence this week. The full and brief descriptions for the episode on the selection page both say the same thing. Loki tries to escape the Void, a desolate purgatory where he meets variant versions of himself. The director for this and all episodes is Kate Herron. Writing credit to Tom Kaufman this week. There is another previously on segment following the Disney Plus snap. The Marvel Studios fanfare plays over the Marvel Studios slate next, which is still green and gold. And I'm wondering if next week maybe it reverts or changes into Marvel Red this time. We'll have to wait and see. The episode starts out in the TVA headquarters with the unknowing variants just going about their daily jobs. The camera work, very interesting though, turning upside down to follow someone walking. Then it rotates, then shifts, dissolves from one elevator to the golden ones where the camera closes in on it. Another dissolve brings us into the timekeeper's chamber. And again, the camera turns upside down until it settles on the decapitated timekeeper robot head from last week. And then it dissolves to a scene of a green mist-covered ruins. The camera continues to fly through like on a drone shot until it reaches a dark black cloud with purple energy encroaching as the camera zooms down to the ground to pick up where we left off last week at the end of the mid-credits scene. Some very confusing camera work to kind of pick us up where we left off tonally as well as where we actually left off Loki picking himself off the ground, asking where he is and who the people are that found him. Richard E. Grant, as classic Loki, replies, "The Void, that's Eliath, and they're in danger. The cloud seems to form a head of some sort, a dragon, dog, maybe, an alligator. And it's some kind of creature that it looks like, and it seems to roar before the Loki title card sequence plays." Next scene, Sylvie has Ravonna in the time courtroom where she was brought when Renslayer was a hunter and arrested her before she was a judge. Sylvie orders her to give up her tempad. She asks who's really in charge. Ravonna says she doesn't know, but she also volunteers that Loki might not be dead. She says the TVA can't just destroy matter. They can only move it where it won't grow on a timeline. They move it to the end of time in a place called the Void. The TVA then, despite the Affinity Stones having no power in the TVA, can, in the real world, or even inside the TVA, move matter through time and space. Ravonna says the dogma states that the end of time is still being written, and that the timekeepers are shaping it into a utopia. Is it really the end of time, though? More on that later. She also says nothing ever comes back from there, but she can help if Sylvie trusts her. I think as an audience, we can all admit we don't want her to trust her, but maybe Sylvie is out of other options. At this point, she hands her back the tempad.
Come on.
Back to the void, we see that the TVA is still at work pruning because something pops into existence in the background while the Lokis are all walking briskly to stay alive. There's some strange birds with round purple heads that detach from the body as they run along the ground. A pirate ship, what looks like a flying saucer. Giant cracked stone heads. The Red Skull's personal rocket from Captain America, the First Avenger. Everything that's there appears old, time-worn, and overgrown, which is odd since this place is supposed to be at the convergence of time, according to what Renslayer tried to explain. We see why later things seem to be decrepit, but in real time, though, things keep popping up. So the people pruned seem to experience time there, but they're not affected by it, even if the objects are, because nature seems to be overtaking things. There seems to be plants growing, grass growing, but everything's rusted, and that's metal, that is. I think it's a style decision, really, and I don't think it really hints at anything. Based on what happens later with Eliath, I think they're just thinking that it would just create some danger, look cool, but the stuff there should either be brand new or disappear, right? Otherwise, everything ever pruned at all would just show up at roughly the same time, since this is, according to young Loki, where the TVA dumps its rubbish. Shouldn't things be popping in left and right if this is the end of time? I guess the end of time is really a long time then, but time doesn't pass the same way. It's very confusing, and I think we're not supposed to understand it. But Loki wants answers. Boastful Loki calls Eliath a living tempest that consumes matter and energy. Classic Loki sums it up saying they're in a shark tank, and Eliath is the shark. Alligator Loki, yes, Alligator Loki, seems to wonder why it can't be an alligator tank, but Classic Loki corrects him, saying there's no such thing, but I guess he's just never been to Gatorland or even mini-golfing in Florida. And yes, the gator is a Loki, and Classic Loki understands his speech. Our Loki, New York Loki, gets some answers. He finds out that most of the people he's going to encounter, not necessarily all, but at least most, are Loki variants that have been proved. It's because Loki variants tend to be survivors. That's a callback to Loki saying that they may lose, but they don't die. Survival is the only thing that seems to matter here because no one seems to be able to get out of the void. They want to get back to their base of operations, and it turns out that the child variant is the king of this place since his Nexus event that got him pruned was killing Thor. They reach a hatch, and Classic Loki performs some magic on it. They open, crawl inside, into an old, weird-shaped bowling alley. Yes, as they're crawling down, we see Mjolnir just out of reach of a small frog Thor, caught in a jar, forever out of reach of the thing that might free him, but also sealed in it, underground, among lots of lunch trays. A very odd assortment of things decorate the lair and have apparently been piling up in the garbage dump of the TVA, but I'm just wondering, do these guys need food and water to survive, and are they just hoping that some of that gets pruned? That's my question.
I beg your pardon?
Back to the courtroom, Renslayer asks Miss Minutes to bring up files pertaining to the formation of the timeline and the beginning of time. I think we may find out that the end of time is really the beginning, like a Mobius strip, right? Mobius? And that Eliath is consuming matter to help build the beginning of time. Perhaps at the end of time, someone's really there at the beginning of time, like at the end and beginning, as a clockmaker of sorts, putting the touches on some animatronic timekeepers who are in charge of the TVA. But whoever's at the end and the beginnings needs the first TVA agents to prune stuff to give Eliath something to eat and turn into matter for him or her to use. At any rate, Sylvie doesn't want to know what's at the beginning. She wants to know what Loki is up to and where he is, how to get there. So Ravonna nervously nods to Miss Minutes, and she immediately finds the timeline, which has a straight line going through the center of her grid from left to right. At the end, it diverges from a glowing white to a kaleidoscope of colors, indicating, I guess, a bunch of chaos and a void. When Renslayer indicates it's pointless to look there, Sylvie threatens her with pruning since she's no more use, but Miss Minute comes up with a plan of her own.
Wait! What about the Void spacecraft?
Yes, the prototype.
Great. I'll get the file.
Ravonna goes with it, and to her credit, it was so out there that I really have to credit both the writers and the actors, because I knew watching it that this couldn't be real, right? It was so out there, convenient, wasn't foreshadowed at all in the slightest, that along with the way it was acted, it served exactly the purpose it was there and supposed to serve. The ruse was designed to stall for time, and somehow we were able to figure it out without being told, which means we were right along with Sylvie for that ride. We know it's almost assuredly a lie and would probably be disappointed if it was the truth, but we have to hope there's some way to get our Loki back, right, after he was pruned. Sylvie caught on, and when Miss Minutes can't pull up the files, Ravonna does a poor job of covering. Sylvie grabs Renslayer's arm and doesn't let go until, yes, Minutemen burst through the door. Sylvie takes back the tempad and heads behind the judge's bench. Ravonna threatens her, taunts her, saying she's got nowhere to run. Sylvie admits that she was fooled a little bit, but wonders if Ravonna actually did feel betrayed by the TVA, and I think she did. Renslayer feels, though, like she's got the upper hand and offers to put Sylvie in a good time loop and asks her what her favorite memory is. Sylvie thinks about it, springs into action, and charges up the pruning baton, and...
she's self-pruned.
Good. And she's dead, too.
From there, we head back into the void, where Gator Loki's getting fed box wine in a kiddie pool, while boastful Loki lies about defeating Captain America and Iron Man and getting all the Infinity Stones, and yes, I think it's a lie. Apparently, Gator Loki calls him out on it, as translated by Classic Loki, boastful Loki declaring... at least his Nexus event wasn't eating the wrong neighbor's cat. Gator Loki's go-to move, apparently it's biting hands. But boastful Loki manages to pry him loose from his hand before losing an appendage and tosses him back to the kiddie pool. Kid Loki tells Classic Loki, please explain your story, which our Loki, New York Loki, wants to hear about. Because he knows about Ragnarok and the dying at the end of Thanos, but clearly Classic Loki is a little bit older. He then drops what I hope will be foreshadowing. He says everything went according to the Timekeeper's plans his whole life until that moment when he would have lunged at Thanos with a dagger.
You didn't try to stab him.
Certainly not. Oh, take no offense, my friends, but blades are worthless in the face of a Loki's sorcery.
Yes, daggers do look awesome, but they stunt a Loki's true magical potential, according to him, and they're no match for Loki sorcery. Case in point, he cast a projection of himself so real that even the Mad Titan believed it. And that's what we're all hoping, is that the Loki that we loved through Marvel's Phases 1 through 3 ends up projecting himself, and that the Mad Titan Thanos doesn't actually kill the real Loki, right? Well, Classic Loki hid as inanimate debris floated away. He figured everywhere he went, pain followed, so he stayed isolated on a planet for a long time. I suppose he could just project some entertainment for himself while he was there, but still, that kind of loneliness has to eat at you, and it did. He got lonely. He wanted to see his brother. He wanted to find out if people missed him. As soon as he took his first steps to trying to get off the planet, the TVA was alerted and arrested him. He claims Lokis have but one part to play.
The god of outcasts.
This sparks something in New York Loki, and he finds his lost, glorious purpose to kill Eliath, find Sylvie, and help take down the TVA.
Yeah, baby! Yeah!
Yes, he tries leaving on his own, but surprise! Waiting outside the hatch is President Loki and his army of variants.
Hello. Which one of us are you?
Next, Sylvie awakens in the void, having self-pruned. Inside a school bus, she's got large Easter egg-looking things that are around her, but I can't figure out if these are supposed to indicate that there is an actual Easter egg here, unless the bus would be from Wrightsville, Ohio's drive-in theater. Maybe that's some kind of clue. I guess we'll find out next week. Or maybe it was just a little cute, hey, there's some Easter eggs, you know. I don't know. She runs from Eliath instinctually, but as she's leaping through the drive-in, her hand makes contact with part of the cloud that's going after her, and she sees a vision, like a floating rock and a structure with a tower, and as brief as it is, it's not a trick. Now, I don't want to tip my hand yet, but I think she's meant to have done it precisely that way, like reached out her hand and touched at that moment so she would get an image. As she's running, she also sees a car driving toward her, not through her, you know, mind. She actually sees it. How Mobius knows that she's there is a mystery, but I was disappointed that he was not driving a Pizza Planet car. That was all that I could focus on. He lets her in. They drive away from Eliath, passing a Sphinx with a nose.
Stay focused.
Back in the bunker, President Loki and his variant army are inside when we get a call back to episode 2 from Classic Loki.
You bastard! You led the wolves to our door!
We prefer snakes to wolves.
I've eaten both. They die just the same.
That's, I believe, a reference to...
We have a saying in Asgard. Where there are wolf's ears, wolf's teeth are near.
From episode 2 of Loki, right? But also from Thor Ragnarok.
There was one time when we were children, he transformed himself into a snake, and he knows that I love snakes. So I went to pick up the snake to admire it, and he transformed back into himself, and he was like, yeah, it's me! And he stabbed me. We were 8 at the time.
At any rate, boastful Loki betrays Kid or King Loki, but then as President Loki finds out his army betrays him, Lokis are clearly not learning lessons about trust here. President Loki doesn't seem to realize that the alligator is also a Loki, and the gator lunges for his hand like it did for boastful Loki a few scenes back, but this time, it gets some lunch. It bites off and swallows his hand. Based on the magic that's thrown around during the fight, I think they're all Lokis in the fight. It's a weak one, really. The humor was around Loki losing his hand. The classic Loki helps out, creating doubles, which is also a callback to episode 2, where Loki explained how projection and image duplication worked. Classic Loki also foregoes the ladder and escape hatch for creating a portal. So clearly, this guy is powerful, and he had time to work on his magic in solitude, right? When they've escaped, Classic Loki and Kid Loki lament how they feel they can't change, and when they tried, they were sent to the void to die. New York Loki reiterates his plan to find Sylvie, but they don't want to face certain death, so they're just going to help him find Eliath, but not fight it. At this point, I would like to point out that there are 3 Lokis helping New York Loki out, one for each timekeeper robot, and one of them happens to be very lizard-like. I'm just saying. The scene shifts to the car with Mobius and Sylvie, who seem to be outrunning Eliath. Mobius seems to apologize, chucks up his work in the TVA to believing the ends justify the means. Though Sylvie seems to have lost hope in finding Loki, she is very undeterred in her mission, stopping whoever is behind everything, and to do that, she believes the vision she saw means Eliath is the answer, so she tells Mobius, turn around, head toward the creature. And he does.
What? What did you say?
Loki, meanwhile, is also trying to face Eliath, so they're bound to run into each other, right? Loki, however, wants to kill it by getting inside it and attacking it. It's a dumb, simple plan, but he's not really interested in sticking around. It's the best plan he's got, and he doesn't know if anything's going to work, so why not try that? Kid Loki, though, has devised some sort of temporal tracker, which alerts him to pruned objects and people coming into the void, which means Eliath will be nearby. It's really kind of interesting that it's a piece of mechanical... I don't know. How did he learn how to do that in Asgard? The USS Eldridge pops into existence, and though the sailors all seem unfazed by the timeline reset they just went through, they're woefully unprepared for battle with Eliath. It ends so quick, it gives New York Loki pause. He now sees why the group did not want to help. But a car is approaching. We know it's Mobius and Sylvie, but the group doesn't. Until New York Loki sees Sylvie exit, he runs to her, asks her if she's okay. He's wondering, how did you get there? He sees Mobius, and he's genuinely glad to see a friend. It's a really nice moment. He introduces his older friends to his newer ones, as them as a child, them from the future, and them as an alligator. He tells Sylvie he hasn't figured out how to kill it.
Oh my god, that was your plan.
Yeah.
Speaking of Eliath, of course. The others explain their disbelief as well, but her plan honestly didn't seem much better on the outside. She's going to try enchanting it. Leaning into her strength, of course, but it's her belief that what she saw was guiding her. Almost as if someone wanted her to see that. She believes that Eliath is a guard dog of sorts, but also the door to whoever is behind everything.
Leave us.
Ravonna is back in the TVA in Time Theater 38, and after telling Minutemen guards to leave, she opens up a wall, which is holding a red energy prison, where B-15 sits, eyes wide open to what's going on at the TVA now. Hunter B-15 knows revenge is the prime motivator for Sylvie, whereas it's not even protecting the TVA that Renslayer is after. She also explains why Sylvie's gonna win.
You only want it. She needs it.
So Renslayer leaves the room, calls up Miss Minutes to have her look at the files pertaining to the creation of the TVA. So Loki and Sylvie are at the end of time, according to the TVA. And Renslayer is looking at the coordinates for the beginning of time. But what if they're the same place and time? Mobius and the new group of Lokis are getting acquainted. He expresses doubts about Alligator Loki, but then says the fact that it might be lying might make it more likely to be a Loki. He respects the game Lokis play. Of course he does, though. He's been investigating them, right? He knows Loki. Kid Loki asks what he's going to do when he gets back to the TVA, and he says he wants to tell people the truth about what they are and why they're there. Classic Loki's surprised. He's surprised he's so easily turned on the TVA after working for what's most of his life, right? But Mobius sees simply, I have new information, and I'm willing to change. That seems to be such a simple, easy explanation that it seems to actually get through to classic Loki. Meanwhile, New York Loki and Sylvie get cozy, like two snakes in the grass, talking about Mobius, their Nexus moment. Loki conjures a blanket for himself, offering to do the same for her, but Sylvie goes a little meta for a moment, saying he could conjure her a new outfit because hers is so uncomfortable. So Sophia DiMartino tweeted out her thanks to a costume designer who helped come up with an outfit that would let her, as a new mother, feed her baby without having to take off the whole costume. It was a nice little news item that actually came out before the episode aired. So when the scene happened, it was kind of a aha, that's what she was talking about moment. It seems like they're in love, Loki and Sylvie. Seems like they're smitten with each other. You know, Loki conjures a blanket around her. They don't know how to act, though, because they've never truly been in real love. And on top of that, Sylvie's not really sure if her plan's going to work or if Loki's going to betray her. He says he's betrayed everyone he's ever loved, but he won't betray her because that's not who he is anymore. She jokes maybe he could rule a timeline, but when she says she doesn't know what she's going to do when it's all over, he says he doesn't either. But maybe they could figure it out together. This sets up the final battle. Sylvie explaining to the group as Eliath approaches that she linked to it earlier, so she's going to try and enchant it, but she needs to get close. She offers the tempad she stole, but I'm wondering, how did this make it through to the void? Now, I would like to have seen her use some magic in the TVA to make it disappear before she self-pruned, like Loki did in episode 3, right? I gotta believe that she's not the first person to ever have been pruned with one in her possession, and it doesn't seem like it would make the trip with her. I guess that it's true that if a person would just either, you know, be re-caught by the TVA or a TVA member that was pruned accidentally, maybe they could then get back to the TVA headquarters without much trouble, but I still don't know how that works, that the tempad came with just her and like it's the first one that's ever done. I don't know how the mind wiping is going at the TVA either, unless it relates to my theory about the end and beginning of time, but I'll get to that. So Loki doesn't take the tempad. He offers it to Mobius. He's staying. Mobius offers to take the new group back with him, but they're staying. Kid Loki then offers a magic golden short sword to Loki. He says he's going to need it, so maybe he really will. The group then heads away from the danger, leaving Loki and Sylvie to face Eliath. Mobius says he's going to burn the TVA to the ground, and when he gets back, he thanks Loki for the spark. The two friends share a hug before Mobius heads through with the tempad. The plan now is for Sylvie to enchant Eliath when something appears, only nothing's happening and Eliath is approaching. So Loki offers himself up as bait to draw Eliath's attention. But try as he might, Eliath senses the real danger. Classic Loki then shows off his power, creating an image of Asgard from memory, and it's one of the best moments of the series so far because, you know, they left, right? He's not coming back. This allows Loki and Sylvie to regroup, and Loki might be remembering what Classic Loki said earlier about the power of Loki sorcery. They're going to do the enchanting together. Eliath is indeed focused on a really cool imaginary Asgard for a time. He's chomping at it. But Classic Loki is giving it his all, collapses to the ground in exhaustion, but Eliath is approaching. Classic Loki stands to his feet, appears to be attempting in his final moments, maybe to try a little of the enchanting. His hands are glowing, but he shouts out glorious purpose, and he throws his head back in laughter as Eliath swoops in, and it gives him the best death scene so far. After Classic Loki is consumed by the purple and black cloud, it looks for a new target, heads towards Sylvie and Loki, but before it can strike, the enchantment succeeds. Power emanates from their hands, turns the cloud from purple and black to an eerie Loki green. They open their eyes, and they see the green light pull back to reveal something hidden. A citadel with a glowing gold tower and a rainbow of shimmering clouds beyond in the distance, kind of like the birthplace of stars, or maybe the birthplace of time. The two of them walk toward the portal, and the screen glows to black. So, here's my theory. At the end is Loki, right? Maybe even Kid Loki, albeit he's probably aged for some reason. Now, why? So this is a time loop, right? The end of time is also the beginning, and Loki and Sylvie always set it up this way because they know that Lokis are survivors, and this is how they get to the end of time together. They also know that they're the only two Lokis that can work together to enchant Eliath. That's why that is the key. We've seen in episode 5 how hopeless it is to get any other two Lokis to work together for any length of time. But Sylvie's also the first we've seen to be able to enchant. So they're at the end, beginning of time. They're going to learn that they're the keys to the beginning. And now that it's open, Kid Loki and Alligator Loki can come through as well. Sylvie is the key to enchantment. A variance in the creation of the TVA. They're going to have a life together creating the TVA. But who's going to run it on that side? They need one person to enchant first. Renslayer. Renslayer appears through a time door after escaping from Mobius. She thinks she's going to return to the beginning to meet the creators. Well, she does. Only now she realizes that it's the Lokis. Like, what are you doing here? Well, Kid Loki, remember, he made that contraption to figure out when pruned branches and thus Eliath would appear. Surely he can create something like, I don't know, the timekeeper robots for the ruse? Loki, remember, mentioned earlier in the series about the three lizards, you know, the timekeepers being three lizards. Maybe he was just referring to Alligator Loki, right? Who, maybe we learn, actually has power. Maybe, say, to conjure a giant monster that chomps on time energy. Like, say, Eliath. Perhaps there's a strange book at the end of time, like the Darkhold, that he gets a hold of that can somehow be understood by him, which is why the magic is purple like Agatha's instead of green like other Lokis. Now, the time gate is New York Loki's idea because he knows that he and Sylvie will be the only ones end up working it out together in the end. So who's there to oversee it all? Well, the rest of them have to return to their timelines or something, maybe. But we need someone to oversee everything, right? That's where Mobius comes in. He was left behind at the crumbling TVA, being torn apart because it was actually that close to the void. Except Loki and Sylvie give him his chance to ride his jet ski before he becomes the man at the end of time and the beginning of time too, since his name is Mobius, like the figure that looks like infinity. Now, I could be way off, and I probably am, but if you ask me, based on the information given, this is my best guess, and I don't know if there were spaceships flying or if it was rocks, if you analyze the final frames of episode 5, there's a whole bunch you could pretend to see. I just think this is what I got. This is my interpretation of what's going to happen, and I can't wait to see how far off I am at the end. What do you think? Email us at thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com or interact on Twitter at thewayphase4 or on facebook.com/thewayphase4. Episode 6, the finale, will air July 14th. This past Friday, Black Widow hit theaters. There's no tie-in whatsoever with Loki, but I still plan on putting out a recap, discussion on the film, perhaps a short one, because this is phase 4, right? We're discussing phase 4. But that's going to come after the finale of Loki, even if I see the movie before. It'll also come out before we make a decision on what to do with the What If Marvel series that's coming to Disney Plus in August. If I had to guess, it's just going to be a general recap of all the episodes after all of them have aired, because none of them impact the future of Phase 4. They really don't have anything to do with long-term implications. One more episode to go. I've seen several friends describe this as their favorite stream show for Marvel so far. I'm going to reserve judgment until I see the last episode. This has been This Is The Way Phase 4 discussion of Journey Into Mystery Season 1 Episode 5 of Loki. I'm Steve Lascalzo. Until next time, friends.